Friday night, we ministered the last beatitude, the B hyphen attitude, how we should be. Today's tape is entitled Salt. I said our reward for becoming Christ-like is persecution. Jesus congratulates the persecuted. I believe this is the road to spiritual growth. Shows us how to depend on His grace, which is sufficient in every area of our lives. It brings the true believers together, and we gain, I think, power through persecution. I mean, when you have to fight, you have to fight. You get cornered, you can be dangerous. Anyway, persecution drives away all the cowards. And so many left the mount. Get the picture now. All of these people sitting and listening to Christ while He ministered His sermon from the mount. And so a lot of the cowards, I said, they had to leave. They had to go. Because that persecution is the road to larger, let's say, usefulness. If you're going to be used, you're going to be tried. And if you have faith, it's going to be tried. The trying of your faith, the Bible says. Maybe being in a mission is a trying ministry. Well, then you know you have faith because it's being tried, the trying of your faith. So persecution, then again I'll say, is the road to larger usefulness. You've entered in 100%. Let me tell you something now. Others will despise you when you see Jesus only. I'm not saying that to be a rebel. I'm not saying that to magnify in any way. I'm just basically giving you a truth here. Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution, and it'll come a lot of times from brothers and sisters. Now that you see Jesus only, because everybody else is left. Because I know one thing, deep moves and great moves aren't made by huge numbers. By, I believe, then a deeper, richer commitment of a few. Childlike, let me do it, people. I want to do it. Let me do it. Can I do it? Please let me do it. That kind of people. And so Jesus goes on and He said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The man gets up and he motions to his wife, let's get out of here. This may be contagious. Let's beat it. This may cause some kind of a dedication. I don't want to get involved. I don't need this. Let me find an excuse for quitting. All over now, people are looking for an excuse to quit. In Ethiopia, we're looking for an excuse to quit and to get out of Ethiopia. Less and less we'll hear about that. In Chicago and New York, California and all the slums were finding excuses. Well, these people should go out and pick up paper out of the parks and do this and so on like that. That might be all right. But how about asking for volunteers to do that? How about saying, how many here would like to volunteer to keep the city clean? How about giving some rewards in this thing? How about encouraging people? Did you ever know that you have to encourage people? Maybe you're ministering to them. Maybe they're meaner than hell itself. And God has put you there to minister to that person. Why else are they there? Why are you there to minister to them? Preachers, are you hearing me on the radio? Why are you there? To minister to the needs of people, no matter who they are or what they've done. But mark it down anyway, persecution in the end even, let's say, a hint of persecution to come will cause people to flee. Because you know why? People have not heard it, to become Christ-like, to suffer His suffering. Haven't preached that since I can remember. So all of a sudden, love and suffering are a sudden brand new revelation. You'll hear it all over. And so Jesus goes on, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And so another group gets up. Let's get out of here. And they waddle out of that place. Let's just get going, huh? Off they go. Finding an excuse to get out. Well, now he's hit all of these points. 7 points. Blessed points. Blessed are you. So on like that. Do you call that blessed? Let's get out of here, Agnes. Let's get out of here, Luella. You've got to name off names that aren't too popular or someone will get convicted. Turn the radio off. Well, let's get out of here. These things are not popular with my thinking. And so we find some kind of an excuse, always, to leave. Can't we always do that and all of us do that? Person asked me, he says, "Have you not found any excuses to leave?" I says, "I found a lot of them, but I found more to stay, more reasons to stay than excuses to leave," because we always got excuses. We're born with excuses. He did it, she did it, they did it. Well, this isn't making it on account of this. And oh, if I only had the right amount of people, and if I only had the right, oh, they make me so sick, huh? What's that got to do with your in a church or in a business or in anything? I think it's an excuse to leave. I think it's all over. We're looking for excuses to part. And so I said, another group leaves. Who needs it? Now, I'm not talking about being persecuted for hanging around with a dunghill crowd. And as they are leaving, Jesus, oh, hallelujah, he starts to preach out there, and he says, "Rejoice," and he starts to really preach to those that are staying, so that those that are leaving can hear the, and it echoes through the mountains. Reverberates. Talk about vibes. And as they are leaving, Jesus finishes, "Rejoice." And they're leaving, and they're screaming, "Rejoice, be exceeding glad." And they're leaving, they're running down the mountain, falling down. Jack and Jill fell down the hill and broke their crowns. They're rolling down. They're getting out, they're slip sliding away. They're crawling, they're screaming, they're getting off the mount. "For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And those that were leaving were the ones that were going to persecute. Now remains the salt. Jesus goes on, "Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" When born agains lose that doing good with vitality, oh, you can do good, but you can do it with a drag, and I just got to find some kind of excuse to get out of this mess. I'm talking about doing good with a vitality, with an earnestness, with a wanting to, with a salt that God has put in. When we lose that, who's going to do good? Will Jesus, he says, "When I come, will I find any faith?" Will there be any faith at all? Will everybody be scurrying off to seminars all over the place and talking about Jesus and slapping him on flannel boards and drawing pictures and all of this, and it's not even a reality? Will they have TV debates on prime time and who's going to have the most time and who's the greatest? You see, when you do away with the salt in the shaker, then shaking is pointless. It's pointless to shake someone when they don't have no salt. Come on, let's get busy. Come on. You can't make them do it. When they've lost their salt, let them go. Totally just say, you're not salty. Go ahead on and go. I can't shake something life into you. Jesus must give you that salt. Are you hearing this message? You're listening on the radio. It says, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot by man. Useless. And all over we're seeing this now, aren't we? As the movement dies down, and the charismatic movement dies down, and all of these movements and these prosperities and these different hyper-faith and all of this nonsense dies down. Shaking people, giving them a false revelation. No salt. But when the water of the Word really comes, and the water of the Word really comes, it waters down that salt, and it becomes tasteless. But here Jesus is speaking, even though there's a mount full, he's speaking primarily to his own disciples. He is speaking to those who have left all to follow him. Those, the Bible says, who are the salt of the earth. Those are the people who have entered the kingdom through poverty of spirit. What's that mean? Poverty of spirit. That means when there is nothing left for you to grab a hold of in the world. Nothing. When everything has dispelled itself from you and you're left there on a cross like Jesus Christ and you have become Christ-like, and that is the point that you have to reach when you're really salt for God. Having done all, the Bible says, stand, hallelujah. Stand there having done all. Having that poverty of spirit by taking on Jesus' attitudes. They have caught the vision. They have caught the plan. They have caught the purpose. I'm talking about the redeeming and the transforming plan of God. Hallelujah. That you will suffer. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah. What is there to complain about anyway? You hear so many complaints. People even invent complaints. Are you around someone that's always inventing and a complaint all the time? And complaining of this and complaining of that? Well, take that complain and get out of here. Jump on that complain. Fly away. And I think this is an invitation to all of us, all who are willing to become salt, the salt of the earth, something that's going to be used over and over and over again. Why, I hear someone on the radio saying, I don't understand that. What does this mean? Well then, consider the two chief words here. Consider these words, earth and salt. Earth, I believe, in this case, means the people. Those who need purification, preservation. And so obviously, let's say here, the earth meaning humankind, mankind, laying in corruption and sin needs salt. It's all mankind I'm talking about. It means all mankind. All that are lying in wickedness. It says, man made in God's image fell. A fly, let's say, alighted on that carcass of creation. I'm talking about that fallen nature. And yet, when it was young, it became a festering mess. And as men multiplied through all of these times, sin increases until we're at where we're at right now. A festering, filthy dunghill. What are we to do with a dunghill? The more rapidly it decays, the more it grows. Look at the depravity right now in the large cities. Look at it. You are not safe to walk out in the street. Don't walk out in the streets. It isn't that a person carries a gun anymore. Carry a Thompson machine gun. And then the next guy, I'll get a tank. And the next guy, I'll get rockets and airplanes. It says, evil shall abound. So what? You are salt. Did you think this is going to be heaven on earth here? No, it will not. Heaven's got to come. Heaven is in you. You're supposed to be that salt. You're supposed to give that out. Watch out who you gather with. So when Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth, what a compliment. I mean, it's a declaration of our obligations and our responsibilities. You are a salt shaker filled with salt. You are obligated to me. You have responsibilities. My friends, you listening on the radio, this is the hour. Don't put it off. This is the hour to become salt. I think when we want to compliment someone who is outstanding, we should say, he is the salt of the earth. The world even says that. Whew. Well, he isn't even worth his salt. You ever heard that old saying? I'm talking about that Christ-like attitude. When we have that, we are the salt of the earth. But you have to live the Beatitudes, all the things the flesh does not want to do. Peacemakers, oh, we don't want to do that. We want to have war. We want to talk all the time. We want to have war. Let's don't forgive anybody. Let's just talk war. Let's get mad. Let's really get it. Let's punch each other out. Now, I think we have a job, and that job is to do it right now. While the world right now is laying hopelessly in sin, nobody wants to touch it. We get into moral majorities. We stink worse than the world does. We are a moral majority, a great huge dung heap of self-righteousness that stinks. I believe it is corrupt to the very core. I believe there is no soundness in it at all. Because, you know, by our very birth and by nature, a part of this corrupt mass, we grow up. We grow up without an uneasiness, without any alarm. And unless we are awakened like you were awakened by another voice other than our own, and until Jesus Christ opened you up, until you heard another voice, you didn't want to hear anything from anybody else. Mark it down. No one is saved but by the Spirit of God. And by the way, also, once that you're saved, you cannot be lost. Why? You are kept by the power of God. But anyway, the corrupt do not loathe their own corruption. Did you? When I was out drinking and doing my thing, I didn't loathe it. I loved it. Sinners do their own thing. They never grow weary and they never grow ashamed of it. I never was ashamed of what I did. Well, everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. Everybody's doing it, doing it. No. Were you ashamed of what you were doing when you were in it? No, you were not. They have no desire to escape from the miry pit. Did you? They resist and resent every offer of aid. I mean, a guy told me, hey, I want to go to hell. All my friends are there. What I've seen out of the church, I'd rather go to hell. No, I said, you don't want to go to hell. You'll have no friends in hell. Nobody's friendly in hell. But understand this, you listening on the radio, and maybe this is not a dainty little Father's Day message, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, the Spirit of God has put it on me to preach it. Say amen, somebody. If you don't start preaching the love and the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, what else is there in this whole world? Nothing. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? How many in here are here? Are you on the radio? Are you hearing this at all? Lay down your Frito-Lay potato chips and your Pepsi Colas and let's listen to the whole message. But understand this. We who have been lifted from the pit can look on those that are in the pit with inexpressible, and I say this, with all humility, inexpressible disgust, but also with pity. Say, oh my God, but for the grace of God, there I am. See, they are contented with their lot. Why are they contented with their lot? They haven't heard from the Church of Jesus Christ. Just like we were content. Corruption is the element of the corrupt. They do not welcome the hand of the deliverer. That's like when Legion cried out from his heart, filled with demons, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus? Why have you come before the time? What are you doing here? You don't belong here, and I don't want you." Let me state the most dreadful feature of our own case. We are not only vile, but vilelessness, it is our, to be vile is our very nature. Who, me? Well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. I don't care. There is a part of us, friends, that flesh, that is vile, and it is our very nature. Now, don't say amen, say ouch. And so we cleave to it with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all that lies within us, and with a steadfastness of instinct. It is our life. If we could compare the case of the sinner lost in his sin with a man, let's say, that had fallen into the water and could not swim, all would be easy, wouldn't it? Just throw him a rope. He'll be glad to grab a hold. Just hold your breath for as long as you can. Let someone clasp their hand over your nose. Like this young man sitting here. Do you mind if I put my hand over your nose, young man? Listen on the radio. Now just clap my hand right over your nose. Now just hold your breath. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Do you want to give up yet? No. He indicates no by shaking his head. No. How about no? No. How about now, young man? No. Doesn't want to. Doesn't want to. Doesn't want. How about now? Oh, he's biting my hand. He's breathing. Are you breathing kind of hard here, aren't you, son? Are you glad to have life? Wouldn't it be easy if that would be the way? Well, that's the way some people preach. We'll smother you in doctrine. We'll smother you with rules and regulations and so on like that. We'll lay a trip on you. Huh? We'll make it so heavy you'll be so full of guilt and so frustrated. You'll cry out. You'll be continually repenting and running to the altar with your flesh to get saved over and over and over. And don't even make way for someone else to come up and get saved that really wants to be saved. Are you hearing this? See, to help the willing is easy. And it's usually successful. But what's going to make him willing? Sin. When we get so fed up with ourselves, when we get so fed up with our own self-righteousness, when we get so fed up with our sin, even as Christians, as we grow, we have to get fed up. We have to get sick of ourselves, to get out of ourselves, to get it. We have to throw up to receive Jesus. Right now, I think there's a whole lot in the Christian world that need to have a good, pardon the expression, puke, so they can make room for what Jesus really wants them to do, to be filled with salt. We should be gagging on what we've been doing, what we haven't been doing. One or the other. We should gag on that. It's all sweet. Did you ever eat too many sweets? Pretty soon someone says, have another piece of cake, and you gag. No suffering, just all peaches and cream. See, the actual condition, I'm saying, of the problem is the exact opposite. Souls in sin love it. Love it. Even Christians. When that soul gets, let's say, well, we don't consider gossip sin, do we? It is a terrible sin. One of the very worst. Envy. Whew. One of the rottenness of bones, it's called. We love it. We love to watch TV and what's happening to this evangelist and that evangelist and this one said that. Oh, we love it. Something to talk about. Excitement again. Oh, huh? That is a real trick of the devil to introvert our thinking into ourselves. When there's a world out there that's lost, I think we should forgive one another and go on and say, hey, there's people out there that need to be fed. See that spiritually corrupt love, corruption. Let's look at the problem right, I think, right in the face. Let's be aware of the very desperate state of the fallen, ourselves and our neighbors. See, it's not a wish that delivers the corrupt from corruption to become brand new creatures in Christ. Let's get this one thing very, very straight before we get into the salt message. From its first plan, I believe this with all my heart, it is the final consummation and glory of sovereign free grace and mercy has done all the work of redemption and nothing else. You can take credit for nothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me should be our prayer every morning when we get up. But anyway, you listening on the radio here, I think the very first faint uneasiness under guilt. Are you hearing it? And that first faint desires to be free are marks of the Spirit. And that Spirit motioning in my heart starts to churn. Those are the movements of the Holy Ghost. You're going to see a lot of that in the end times because people are not going to minister to one another. And it says, in the end, Jesus says, the low, base, perverted things of the world will be raised up to confound the wise and complaining and bellyachers. Are you hearing it? Paraphrased, of course. But they'll be right, I'll raise them up to confound the wise. I'll even have to send angels to minister salvation. It's old hat. We don't want to hear it. Jesus died on the cross. So what? Huh? That's the attitude. That's the attitude. But why did he die on the cross? That's the point. I think that's a point that should be put out front. And that should be the cause of us wanting to be filled with salt. When we understand that, of course, we will be filled with salt. Are you hearing this? How do you come under this faint uneasiness under guilt? You're uneasy in your spirit, you're queasy in your gut, you feel something happening in the inside. How do you become that way? By salt. Salt of the earth, Christians. When you are around, earth's people, your brothers in the flesh, by the way, when you are around them, you are the salt. Well, I think we should also recognize this. A portion of the corrupt mass cannot become salt to preserve the rest of it. You can't get your, just partly, well, one arm full of salt. Put out that old salty arm out. No, the rest will be corrupted. No, you must be born again. I think salt then is different from the earth because it is new. And also, nowadays, it's kind of strange. It is a work of God in regeneration. Those who have been forgiven and renewed are salt. You are salt. Well, then why has the Redeemer given us that name? What feature of our character, I should say, or form of our usefulness, does this figurative expression indicate? Where does this all come from? I think the word teaches us something about the new creature, both in respect to what it and to what it does. And I think a lesson can be learned here regarding both its nature and its use. It lies wrapped up, I believe, in this very parable that I preach here today. In nature, and let's get this message so crystal clear that we'll want to be salt shakers. Glory to God. In nature, the new creature is not applied to the corruption that is in the world. It's the incorruptible seed. Get that down. The incorruptible seed. Life, I'm saying, to itself and left to itself doesn't turn rotten. The corruptible seed will always be there. I don't care how rotten your flesh gets. It's called the incorruptible seed. It's buried somewhere in there, maybe. Yeah, I believe there are mixtures of the old man and the Christian. Well, we all know that, of course. There are mixtures of the old man and the Christian while he remains in the body. Can you put your hand up on that one? Oh no, I'm totally, hey, I've been perfected, my flesh, hey. Well, let somebody step on your toe. Let somebody beep a horn at you. Let you get your receipt in the mail. You didn't pay your taxes and you paid your taxes. Oh, you're up then, boy. Ooh. Huh. I'm talking today about the incorruptible seed, but the new life from the Lord, which I believe has been quickened within us, is like its origin, not only like its origin, it's like its author. Now, although it may be lodged among earthly things, it itself is not earthly. Well, you're saying on the radio, well, do Christians fall into sin? A trap? You call that a trick question? That's not a trick question. It might have tricked you, fella, but I'll tell you, Christians do fall into sin. If any man say he be without sin, he is a liar and there is no truth in it. I didn't say it, Jesus did. That's the problem. They're not going with the incorruptible seed. They think they have incorruptible flesh. And yet the new man in us cannot sin because he is born of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Well, how about this parable where the man took the talent and he buried it in his napkin and he folded it all up? It was still incorruptible. It was still incorruptible. It was buried, but it couldn't get any moisture. The earth couldn't get to it, but it was still incorruptible. That Jesus Christ in you cannot be corrupted. And if you just let it start to grow a little bit, it'll take over your flesh. Oh, you'll fight and you'll kick and you'll scream and you'll look for all kinds of excuses to get out of it. How you look for all kinds of excuses, but you just give that little seed a little chance. Now, I'm not talking about you not going to heaven, but you'll be going there with one little burnt hair on your head, diapers on, and a paper hat, burnt tennis shoes, smoking, standing there like a little baby with diapers full. How many are hearing this? How many are hearing it? See, it's time that we preach down-to-earth, I can understand it messages. Instead of flitting around, flitting here and flitting there. Hallelujah, da-da-dee, da-da-da. I'm dancing around like a bunch of idiots. But don't you believe in dancing in the Spirit? Yeah. But I've seen some of those people that dance in the Spirit. They're usually in the wrong spirit. They're only in the Spirit when everybody else is. It's like party time. Say amen, somebody. You see a little child, when they start to dance, that's real. And unless you become like a little, and the little kids say, they start dancing, they just, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Oh, sometimes I wish I was a kid again. I never went any place unless I ran or skipped. I mean it. I mean, and it was something about me. I was always happy. Not always, but most of the time. Because I was like a child. I don't know what it was. Had my little pony, and I'd ride my little pony with a cowboy hat on. Give me some of them Tootsie Rolls and some of these, and I mean it, with my little gun out there. God, I wish I was back there again sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. Give me a horse and a saddle. I'll take off for Seattle. That's the way I feel about it. I think it's fun being saved, hallelujah. And sometimes folks can kind of make you want to cry and give up. But glory to God, what is there to go to? I haven't got nothing to return to. My horse died. Tootsie Rolls are a dollar a piece. Do Christians fall into sin? Idiots. Stop asking those questions. You're a sinner. When you get to heaven, the only thing that's going to be there is sinners saved by grace. How did you get in here? Well, I did a lot of things. Let me think back now. Oh, wait, just a minute. I'll get my briefcase out and show you all the things I did. So-and-so, unscroll like a scroll. And then, see all the things I did? No, Jesus did it all. Those are just things you did because you had the fruit of the Spirit. Works. Lay your horn down. Say you're sorry. Give all the glory to Jesus and you can enter in. Can you do that? A lot of people will think twice before they do. You mean this guy over here? Look at this crowns on this nest. Oh, I remember him. He's got crowns on, huh? And you got one of them little... Huh? A little teeny crowns with a little diamond in the middle? 1/10 of a carat? Those that think they're going to be first are going to be last. And those that think they're going to be last will be first. And yet the new man in us cannot sin because he is born of God, I said. What is the salt used for in the world? Cool. Let me put it another way. When we say we are the salt of the earth, it's like a commander who cries aloud to his soldiers, "Ye are the defenders of your country," as he leads them forward to repel an invading foe. It's the same way onward, Christian soldiers. See, but if we confine our view to what the Lord has done for His people, and there's a lot of that. Look what the Lord has done for me. Well, get up, give your test. What has the Lord done for you? Well, for one thing, I prayed about a brand new Cadillac, and I got that. And when I prayed, and I was specific, I prayed for wire wheel hubcaps, and I prayed for pink seats, and I prayed for the stereo sound, and I was specific in it, and that's what He did for me. Well, la-di-da-di-do. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it has become? Look what Jesus has done for me. He has given me material junk. I don't believe it. No, that's only half of the truth. And we've been ministering half of the truth for a good long time now. And I think if we do that, we'll convert into full error. Look what God has done for me, crowd. By ministering half a truth, has converted error. Converted into total error. How many are hearing this message today? And yet He does do something for us, isn't that true? Something greater than I have seen. It's not something you can see. Something greater than your ears have heard or your heart conceived. What are you conceiving up in your heart? Greater than what you can ever possibly imagine. Greater, greater, greater than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't that great? Because you get bored with the rest of this junk anyway, don't you? Don't you get bored with it? Oh, you get a new suit, you get some new clothes, and you're like, you feel good for a day. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Unless somebody doesn't notice your clothes. Maybe you didn't notice I got new clothes on. Oh, yeah, I got one. Everybody I see has got that same dress on. Did you buy it? It's on sale. I seen it down in Dayton's bargain basement, huh? I don't care what it is. Jesus has given you something so great, your eye can't see it, your ear hasn't heard it, and your heart can't conceive it. Isn't that the way you want it to be? I don't want to see it. Why? Because the flesh will find some reason for getting bored with it. They would. See, it's got to be totally in the Spirit to really appreciate anything. Oh, yes, but I walk in the Spirit from the time I get up in the morning until the time I go to bed. It's a lie. Total flat-out lie. There's no one that walks totally in the Spirit. Well, there's people that walk totally in the wrong Spirit, but I'm talking in the Spirit of God. How many are hearing this? I have not seen, nor ear heard, or the heart conceived. I love that. I have a hope, a blessed hope, hallelujah. Are you hearing this? But He does something with us too, doesn't He? Yes, even more. He works for us first in order that He may work by us. He worked for you in saving you. He first loved you and brought you in so that He could work. We could work by Him. We work by the power of God, and He works right by you. The Bible says He buys us from the bondage of Satan with the price of His own blood. And why? The Bible says, in order that we may have sons and daughters who shall yield themselves as willing instruments unto Him for His work of righteousness in the world. He redeems us, the Bible says, from sin that He may use us. Can you be used if you're sitting in a 5-year Bible study? That's your main instrument of being holy. Can you be used if you're flying all over, always learning the Bible says and never coming to know Jesus Christ, because you can never know Him unless you know Him in His sufferings. You can't know Him. How many are hearing this message today? Pinch yourself, you on the radio. Maybe you'd like to pinch me about now. For the work of righteousness, the Bible says He redeems us from sin that He may use us. And when He has forgiven and renewed some, He puts us in contact with the remaining masses. Oh, I cannot go over where they're doing those things. Oh, they are so corrupt and so nasty. I'm going to take all of my children. Now, people can't even afford. Take my children out of school, and we'll put them over here in this school over here. This is a Christian school over here. You don't want to know something? The only thing that'll do is keep them 2 years behind sinning over here. You need to teach those children to get along in that school. Remember that, Debbie? Why not? Why not? Oh,
Jesus got me saved so I could go over here and put my incorruptible seed in an incorruptible building with incorruptible people. That's corrupt. That's bankrupt. Not only corrupt, it's bankrupt. It's not it wanting to come in and mingle with the masses. It's not wanting to be that salt put on a dunghill. I won't shake myself on that dunghill. What good are you for then? Oh, so much happened, didn't it? People were saved standing up. The house was so crowded, I had to go in the bathroom, stand in the tub with teenagers all over. Standing on the toilet, sitting on the sink, sitting on the railings, people outside the windows, hanging in the windows. Do you remember that, Mick? In those churches we'd go to out there in the suburbs and teenagers flocking. I'm talking about flocking! 500 and 1,000 at a time coming to know Jesus Christ. Because some old salty dog, somebody would go out there and minister the pure, not watered down gospel. Jesus loves you and He wants you to leave this thing. No, it's not coming out. It's coming out of the world, but it's going into the world as a salt shaker. Are you hearing this message? No. When He has, I said, forgiven and renewed some, He puts us in contact with the masses to preserve and to purify it. His Spirit works right through you. Jim, when you go down there on that hobo bus, day after day after day, you are that salt shaker. You're the only one that's down there, maybe. You just picture yourself now as a salt shaker driving that bus with a hat on, see? Oh, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. Shake, baby, shake. Isn't there a song like that? Well, the world doesn't know it, but they're speaking Scripture. Come on, shake. Jimmy, shake. And you go on down there, and you minister down there, and you're probably the only salt that's down there. Or should you take your salt shaker and go off to a 5-year Bible study someplace and just set your old shaker down there until your salt gets all hard and lumpy and it won't even come out? Oh, I heard that. You think I'm nuts, don't you, listening on the radio? Well, I am. I'm a fool, for Christ's sake. Someone's got to get crazy about the gospel. Someone's got to be a fool, for Christ's sake. Isn't that right? For Christ's sake, be a fool. For His sake, be a fool. You look foolish to people, I'm sure. You probably even look foolish to Christians. Well, God bless you for doing it. I don't know how He does it every day. Oh, yuck. Ugh. El Gago, huh? I don't know why Wayne goes out and gets the bread and brings in the rolls and everything. Rosemary comes down. I don't know that. I don't know why you guys are all dedicated in here. Because you're salt. Don't worry about somebody finding something wrong with you. We find wrong with all it. We are experts at finding things wrong. Every dang one of us. We are, oh, that's a swear word, dang. Well then, dang it, I said it. Isn't that right? Aren't we experts at finding things wrong? Oh, you know what I noticed? Probably, and this is not a complaint, they tell you. Well, then what is it? Sure sounds like one to me. It's got a wag and a bark, looks like a dog coming. Hey, if you don't have no humor with the way I preach here, it just naturally, people lay down, die, froth at the mouth, roll over and roll right out of the building.
No, His Spirit works right through us. We are salt. We're to be a positive force in the world, hallelujah. And salt is something that cannot be ignored. When its absence is missed, we had to take all of the salt shakers off of the tables downstairs because they were disappearing all the time. Oh, gee, isn't that awful? No, it's not awful. It gave me this message. Hallelujah. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. But when the salt was gone, everybody was asking, where's the salt? Where is it? And I'd give announcements every day over the loudspeaker. I'd say, hello, this is Mr. Salt Shaker speaking to you. Seems like I've been jumping into purses and jumping into pockets. I'm a terrible rascal. Will you please look in your purse or your pocket or your purse and see if I'm in there and put me back on the table? Thank you. Seems like nobody looked in their purse or their pocket. But when the salt was gone, oh, how it was missed. This dinner is so flat. It needs salt. I like a lot of salt on my food. And then some people look across. Don't you know salt's bad for you? You'll die. You'll plug up all your veins and you'll drop over in a cold sweat and die. You know what? I don't believe all that. I'll tell you why. If you're really working, you need salt. The problem is nobody's working nowadays, so they don't need as much salt. Huh? I remember, you know, you start to sweat. When I was a young man, my dad believed in working. Believe me, he believed. When 9 years old, he'd knock on my head and wake me up and say, let's go down to the cafe and go to work. He didn't say it like that. Come on, get up now. We go to work. Well, that's what I did. But I remember when I was down there working and sweating and I had fans going. They didn't have air conditioning in those days. That's why it don't bother me in here, man. People say, isn't it hot? How can you stand it being so hot? I said, I'm conditioned. Do you like it warm? Yes, there's no heating bills. I'm tired of heating up your flesh. It cost $2,500 to heat your flesh up, and I still couldn't work up a sweat with you. No, but the point was, when it came down and the sweat came down, it was salty. Did you notice? Huh? It was salty. We've lost our salt. We're not in working. We're not doing anything. And so we're not worth our salt. We're not salty. We hate salt. Might kill us. Of course, I'm talking in a spiritual sense now. Positive force in the world. Something that cannot be ignored, no way. You take this mission out of here. Come on now. God. Come on now. Take this mission out of here. Take it out of here. This salt would be missed. Take it out of here. All the little salt shakers run away. And congregate somewhere and sit and become one hard lump, tasteless, made for men to walk on. Take it out of here. Would it be missed? Well, who would really be having the problem? We would. God has called you to minister to the masses and to be down here and to be salt. It might even cost you, hallelujah, might even cost you your family. You might be slandered. You might be hated in the house of your friends. Maybe some people won't want a dang thing to do with you, but it doesn't matter because you've become salt. Maybe they'll find this wrong and that wrong, but it really doesn't matter because, see, you're too busy shaking. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Say amen, somebody. That's the way it is. God has put you here, and He's put you on a dunghill of this world, and He says, I ask you to be a salt shaker to spice up that old dunghill. Will you do it? Oh, no, I think there's more comfortable places to minister. I've done enough. I've done my share. I think I'll just retire and put a little thing on my salt shaker. Retired. What does that mean, retired? That means you were tired in the beginning and now you're retired. Huh? Like refried beans? How many times can you fry them before they have to throw them out and they get hard? I know there's a whole lot of people who don't like this message. I don't care. Hey, it's gospel. Glory to God, it's gospel. It's coming right from the throne room of God. I know it is. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. Glory to God. Somebody's got to preach it. We are now to share in His errand to save the lost. We have the way. We have Christ's compassion. And the word of Christ is, as it were, hallelujah, a two-edged sword. Does the word says that? Does it not? Sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a promise on the one end of the blade, and it is a command on the other. He gives what He demands, and He demands what He gives. And I think the same Master both gives the talents and requires, by the way, an account of their outlay. He sends none of us on a warfare at their own. God sends you. So many self-appointed prophets are out there right now prophesying over nonsense over one another. God didn't send them out. They are tasteless and there's no salt to it and they're producing no folks with hardly any work at all. Always looking for a word. Are you hearing this? No, God doesn't send out the self-righteous, the self-gods. Look in the end to this now. There'll be all kinds of weirdos. I've seen it, I'll say it. I said it Friday night, I'll say it. A woman on TV, and she was on Good Morning America or something, and she was sitting there vibrating away, and she says, so-and-so has entered my body, and she was doing a... Ooh, huh? And so that for that, she charged $25 for a whole group of people to see her shake her saltless body. And then they had another one on there. She was a little more dignified. She looked like Betty Crocker with a bun in the back. And she was speaking through some voice, was speaking, oh yes, haven't I told you to love and to cherish? And these women are sitting there, eyes closed in deep meditation, not doing anything, no. I mean, if they go to sleep or what, I'd pull out my horn and blow my horn at them. Wake up! And they're all sitting there. They paid $1,000 a session because it was better. The more you pay, the better it is, right? Ooh, I really got a dose. I got $1,000 worth. And it's very close. What's scary about it? It's so close to what Christianity has half a truth themselves into a positive lie. And people are prophesying. Thus saith the Lord, go to Africa. I will send angels your way. I will send the prophets your way. I will blow a horn. And when you hear that horn, you will go. And a horn beeps outside. There it is! Praise God! Let's go! What's that got to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ and being the ordinary table salt shaker? Tell me. I don't know how many times I've been prophesied over to go to Africa and China and all over. I says, you ain't getting rid of me. I ain't going. You wear them jungle clothes. Do you see any bug spray in that thing? I don't know. They got a lot of bugs over there. Ooh, are you hearing this? Ye are the salt of the earth. Are you hearing this? You're not going to be exempt from warfare. None of you. When you are the salt of the earth, you have been called to warfare. Ye are the salt of the earth. Look to the upper side of that thing. What's the upper side of the meaning of that word? I believe it is Christ has redeemed us and purified His own. Look to the underside, and I believe its meaning is like this. Christians should be in the world witnesses of Christ and winners of souls, period. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. There is no other way to glorify God than to see others glorified. And I think there's a whole lot of people right now, I hope you're listening on the radio, that we're not salty anymore. That self-righteous who force salt babies until they die. Babes in Christ. I've seen people get saved by the power of God. I mean, they're just transformed. Just beautiful, beautiful people being saved. And then some study will get a hold of them. And they'll go off with some weirdo, somebody wrapped in gauze, and somebody coming up, God has called you. You were just born again, and now you must grow in the faith. I have a word for you. God has called you to go out on 5th and Hennepin and to shout salvation to the lost sinners down there on Hennepin Avenue. And to knock on doors and go all over and like a Jehovah Witness, see? But did God really call him to do that? See, what happens is, people, when God tells you something, you might get confirmation from somebody, but don't listen to these total nuts people that tell you, God has told me this and thus and so for you to do. They'll only be able to confirm what God has already shown you. There are so many, the Lord has spoken to me. Thus saith the Lord. I would be careful of saying, thus saith the Lord all the time. Only preachers, you listening on the radio, when you feel the anointing and the power of God zap through your body, and the anointing be there, don't you ever say that God has spoken to me and thus and so on and so on. I would be fearful to do that. That is a lie right out of the pits most times. Say amen, somebody. Oh, golly, I don't know about that. I had a word and it really worked out. Because you wanted it to work out. And you went to work to make it to work out. It's called faith. That's why your business works. Because you go down there every day. If you didn't go down there every day, it'd go to the dogs. Right? Or it'll be for the birds. Whatever. He runs a pet shop. Isn't that true? It's called faith. And somebody tried to capitalize. Now they got tapes. They got tapes here. Business tapes. And they say, and this is positive thinking and possibility and all this kind of preaching. What is it? It's just Bible. Why don't they give Jesus the credit? Give credit where credit is due and don't take credit for yourself all the time. Now let me lock this message up. Are you worth your salt? I think some salt is more like the earth than the polluted mass. And are more conformed to the world than the world is conformed to itself. And so grace is feeble in Christians, and they have no power. Check out your saltiness, and I believe this should be a warning. How Christ-like are we? I think the father and the husbandman, if the tree were hopelessly barren, would leave it alone. Has God dealt with you lately? Are you still convictable? Have you been chastised at all? See, when a tree starts to bring forth fruit, you ever been? How many know how they treat trees that are bearing a lot of fruit? Do you know that? They go out and hack them. Now this one looks like it's given a lot of fruit. Look at the abundance. Well, let's hack off some of these branches. Here's this beautiful tree out there. And the apples and the oranges and everything are growing on it so abundantly. And here comes the hacker. This tree is giving out abundant fruit. It is pruned. What do you do with your plants? Do you have plants, dear? Do you like plants? You right here? Do you like plants? I don't know your name. Do you like plants? When that plant is giving, and it's real bushy and everything, you have to prune it. Pull all the dead leaves off and prune it. Even some of them that look like they're really alive, but they're kind of like way out, reaching over the edge of the pot, like way sort of spiraling up there.
Woo, look at me.
Clip. Get in there with a mask. Stay close in with the body. When you're getting fruit, you're going to be pruned. You won't look too good either. You're just little stubs there. Oh, man. Oh, well, leaves are gone and everything. And I lost my reputation. Man, nobody's looking at me now. But God is going to use you. Uncomely. But God is going to use you.
See, it's what's down inside. You're getting root and you're growing down. Hallelujah. You're going deeper into the Word. You're being persecuted. You're being hacked off. You're being pruned
for a greater work.
For a greater work. Your soul I'm talking about. You listening on the radio. Has it lost its savor? Can the world and people be next to you and not even know you're there?
Oh, maybe the profane will count you up. Oh, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Oh, our pastor, he's a good guy. I mean, he comes over, he has beer with us on Saturday. He loves beer. He likes import. He's a weird old duck. And for Christmas, we know what our priest wants and we know what our pastor wants. He likes this certain brand of wine. And so everybody brings him these jugs. They all know what he likes. What does he like at Christmas? He likes that jug. Big old jug. How about Jesus?
Ooh. But Jesus Christ counts you an unfaithful witness.
But on the other hand, if you weren't able to walk in the Spirit and with Christ, your presence would be a reproof to wickedness. I'm not talking about judging the world. The world doesn't have to be judged. Jesus says, don't judge it. It's already under judgment. Just your presence and just your saltiness and just your going on and on and on and keeping on and keeping on and always, always being there all the time where there's a dunghill and your salt shaker sitting right on top of it saying, use me, use me, use me, salt of the earth. You aren't going to let go of your savor. You are going to be savory.
Let's take your salt out of the church and use it out there in the streets. Like Jesus, be a friend of the publicans and the sinners. And I think the best Christians are those who are most Christ-like. Remember now, the Holy One came, it says, from a holy heaven and dwelt in a sinful world, where there he cast himself in the way of the worst and wept, by the way, over them when they would not allow him to come near. We don't want you. Crucify him. Did that stop him? Did he find an excuse? They were mean to me. Did he? No, he came for that purpose. To suffer for the lost. To be the salt of the earth. And you are the salt of the earth. You are called to be shaken out upon the dunghills and to spice it up and to bring people to Christ by your being salty. Hallelujah. And that's what the whole message of the Sermon on the Mount was all about. And it's not for the flesh, but it's for the Spirit. You won't be able to understand it sitting there in the flesh. But I don't want to be a peacemaker. But I don't want to be merciful. But I don't want to be meek. You don't want to be those things. Of course you do not. But I'll tell you, there's such a rich truth in that. Oh, wake up, hallelujah. There's such a rich truth in that, that if you receive it, you'll be set totally free, hallelujah. And every little stinking thing that comes along, you won't be running down the road. They were mean to me. So what? I think there are two things worth living for. Getting from the Savior and giving to the lost. It's when Christians have a savor of Christ upon their spirit and their conduct. that they become the savor of life to those who are dead in sin. Oh, has your salt shaker lost its savor overnight? Have you messed with the world so often that your Jesus is out of sight? Or do you wake up in the morning from that miserable mess from the last night? Has your salt Jesus gave you lost its savor overnight? And all of a sudden you've lost your savor, your drive. Are you tired of being convicted? Are you weary of doing well? What are you going to go back to? Don't lay in your salt shaker until you get all lumpy and grumpy. Living the Beatitudes, and I'll close with this, might sound heavy, but there is no fruit of the Spirit without becoming part of the vine. Let us now live the Beatitudes and become Christ-like. We are so close to the very end. So very close, even the natural man knows that. My God, we are close. Let us crowd around the Alpha and the Omega for a direction towards perfection. Lay down the earth, pick up the salt. Stop making excuses. Stop saying, don't judge me. I'm tired of people saying stuff to me, huh? Become salt. Unloose your preventative and purifying powers. We have a responsibility now. Be salt on your job. Be salt in your home. Be salt to your children. Be salt in the church. Maybe your kids won't like you. Maybe when you get up close to them, your salt will get into their wounds and they'll, oh, don't you do that, don't do, do. You ever put salt in a wound? Sometimes you get next to a wound. No, but it heals. It heals them. They might not like it. They might not like you. You don't judge them, you're just there. God put you there and He filled you full of salt. And sometimes you're kind of salty to people and you kind of get in their wounds, but it's a healing process. Hallelujah. I hope you're hearing this message today. I'm closing it down. Did the best I can to hurry up so you could get home get over to Arby's for roast beef sandwiches and stuff. You know what I mean? We don't want to hear too much of the gospel. Oh, God, when's this guy ever going to quit? Lord, have mercy. I think I'll come an hour late so I only have to listen for 4 hours. Oh, praise the Lord. I want out of here, huh? Oh, that's too much gospel. Is that what you're saying on the radio? Praise God, it's only a half hour program. Well, I'll be on tomorrow. You can pick it up. This will probably be a 3-part message. Are you willing to suffer for a radio audience? That's what keeps this church going. The radio audience. You hearing that, radio audience? Do better. Be more salty. Oh, you're just like the rest of them, asking for money and stuff. I didn't ask you for it. I'm telling you, send some money in. They ask you. You shouldn't have to ask you all the time. Beg you. Well, do you have this and that and so on? Like some of the people, like, that's none of your business. I'll tell you what I do have. I got holes in. I just got a different pair of shoes. I had holes in the ones. The other one's so bad. My feet are so calloused on the bottom. I thought I still had leather on them. Oh! Let me say one more thing before I close this up. On a farm, when we used to salt the meat, do you know anything about that, Jim? It's for your time. I guess everything I say is before everybody's time. Do you find that true, dear? You talk about things and sing songs and they look at you like, what's that? I mean, you know, you're from a different time. I feel like sometimes I'm from the planet Kreton. But anyway, getting back to this salt barrel. We didn't salt it by putting salt in one barrel and the meat in another. The two had to make contact. The salt, I'm saying, by giving itself to the meat, then that salt, in a way, in a fashion, became part of it. It passed out of sight altogether.
when you go in there and you're salt. You pass out of sight altogether. I really know what that means, because when I left the suburbs and I left evangelizing and I left all that, oh, it was so good and so nice and oh my, oh, Pastor Paul come in and drop his bombs on these people and leave, you know, and then the pastor had to live with it. When I became salt down here in the north side and intermingled myself with the meat of the message, I disappeared. Pastor who? Pastor who? Oh, you know that old guy that used to minister out here? That, well, bald-headed man that used to be out here. I have to use that to describe him. The one with a beard, with that atrocious laugh. You remember him? He was out here. Yeah, he did quite a work. Well, he's still alive. I haven't seen or heard of him for years. Huh. When we started going out after PR, and that's when the church was going under about 3 or 4 years ago, I went on TBS's Folks. I need help. We're feeding multitudes and I don't have any money. Oh, the money came in, you wouldn't believe it. $500 came in. A guy that was in Las Vegas came, he had won $500, he came in here. That's all that came in. I was on four, five, nine, and 11. It even, some people seen it, it went nationwide, little segments of it. Not too salty. But that hasn't got nothing to do with my shaker. I'm still here. Oh, I've had a few little trials being down here. But that's the trying of your faith. That doesn't mean, there's nothing to get melancholy and cry about. I'd be so bored to be out there in Pumpkin Village, out there on Noble Mountain. I'd rather be down here in Oliver Valley. It would bore me to death. I could not do that anymore. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't fit in. Isn't it funny? I just wouldn't fit. I never really did fit in with that. You know, when the ministry was coming out and all of the faith ministries were out there and all of that. And I'm going to say that. Faith ministries where they get into all of this, you know, hyper-faith. No, your nose isn't broken. It's just a symptom. The guy is breathing like this. No, it's just a symptom. On his tombstone, they had, he died of symptomatitis. That kind of message, I couldn't live with it. I couldn't be with it. I had to get out of there. I had people trying to, Pastor Paul, you are so vibrant. You are so this, you are so that. And, you know, this is the devil pumping you all up. And, you just get out there and you just got to learn a few things. And they even put things on their icebox. Pray for Pastor Paul. We know that Pastor Paul has been called to God to minister the hyper-faith message and the prosperity teachings. On their iceboxes. Hang it up every morning. Pray over me. Praise God. Those prayers weren't heard. I would have been out there, saltless. Not doing anything. You understand what I'm talking about when somebody puts a list up on the icebox about what they want you to be and they claim you to be that in the name of Jesus. At least, folks, put it on the stove. Don't put it on the icebox. I call that the first church of the frigid air. Don't put it on there. You understand what I just said? Maybe you don't understand that. I'm saying when people claim you to be some, have this man do this and do that, and they claim it. I would just sing out to the Lord my own weird humor. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I don't want to leave that.
I don't want to die. The Bible says die daily. You can serve no other way. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life as a ransom for many. You can serve no other way. We must serve as the Lord served. We must be that salt that's willing to go into the barrel of the meat, to intermingle itself, to become part of, to become unseeable, and yet there's something being done unseen, unheard. Even the heart can't conceive what's happening, Jim. There's no way that you'll know what happens until you get to that final place up there. Glory to God. And there'll be a rerun movie, and you'll see all of the wonderful things that are done because you depended upon Jesus to keep your salt shaker full, hallelujah, amid all the cries and all the judgments and all the things, hallelujah. God, so wonderful to be that salt shaker for the Lord. So wonderful to be part of the body of Christ. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing I want to go back to. Bible says, press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. What is there to go back to? Charleston, da. What's there to go back to? Huh? What's there to go? The jerk? Huh? I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to go to Charleston. Hey, why are people so bored? They're not doing anything. You ever see people, they're sitting around, I'm all done with the message, but I'll just go on. You ever see people, they say, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. And they back and forth, they talk for hours and hours, and then they get mad at each other. I said last time what we want to do. I don't care if we do anything. What's wrong? They're not doing anything. Their favorite thing is not doing anything. That's their favorite. What's your favorite pastime? Doing nothing. Is there a song like that? I got plenty of nothing. Oh, nothing's plenty for me. Oh. Did you ever hear those words? Aren't they? Doesn't that fit right in? I got plenty of nothing. And nothing's plenty for me. Oh. Huh? Lord bless this audience here today. The magnitudes of people that sit here before me. A balcony full of people. God bless you all up there. Young man that couldn't breathe sitting in the front seat. Thank you for that, young man. God bless each and every one listening. And keep those cards and letters coming, folks. In the mighty name of Jesus. Start, if you haven't already, to be that salt. Ask God to fill up your salt shaker today. In Jesus' name, amen.